Thank you very much for the introduction, and good morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to see so many of our alumni from Azrieli, from Yeshiva University broadly, members of the Feuerman family. It is just a wonderful day to celebrate the legacy that Rabbi Dr. Feuerman has created. We'd be remiss, as Dr. Novick mentioned, and as was mentioned by my colleague, Dr. Schiffman, you know, this week we have lost just remarkable world-class mechanchim. And as I was preparing for today and thinking about what to share, it was remarkable as I was trying to say, okay, well, will I begin with, here are the ideas that I've learned, the lessons gained from Dr. Feuerman over the years, both in terms of my experience with him sharing an office, as Dr. Novick mentioned, or from being in faculty meetings with him or the like, or will I start the other way and try to connect back? And every lesson that I pulled, every idea that I gained over the years of experience and the like from Dr. Feuerman wound up coming back and back and back. And I couldn't separate out that which was something that I was preparing for, sharing what are some of the ideas about ensuring that all students are advancing in our classrooms and beyond, that which were ideas that were gained from my dear colleagues. So I share with you today a mix of ideas, but we will at different times connect with the legacy of Dr. Feuerman for sure. I had a Dr. Feuerman moment a few months back. I'll explain. A student from close to 20 years ago at Azrieli, when I first began, joined my shul recently. And after shul, as we were kibitzing with a few other of the congregants, it came out that he was a student. And it was surprising to some of the other people, part of our kehila. And he said, now there's a student. He says, I remember one of the first lessons that we learned together. And he proceeded to share not only specifics of what it is that we had taught at the time, again, close to 20 years ago, but how he has incorporated into his own practice, how it is that it now informs how he teaches his students, how it informs his parenting. And he added his own ideas. He made it relevant to his experience. He brought his experience in, and it was quite remarkable. As I mentioned, I've come to call these Dr. Feuerman moments. I had the schluss, as Dr. Novick mentioned, the distinct privilege and honor to share an office with Dr. Feuerman. That first Midtown space, which was a reconfigured custodial closet, where we traded using the computer when the chair would fall into the drain that was still in the middle of the office, we would each have a good laugh. And then say, maybe you can use the computer now for a little bit and shift our work to the desk. By the way, that desk that we used was that of the late Rabbi Dr. Alvin Schiff, another giant who we remember and bring his legacy forward as well. We then moved together after a number of years there in Midtown to the first floor of the library, where we shared many experiences together as well before ultimately Azrieli moving to Belfer Hall. Beyond the many lessons learned from Maisa Rav, just being in the office with him as he prepared for classes, as he reviewed material, as he took phone calls, as he prepared to leave the office, when he came to the office, all of the experiences beyond that, those that stick out the most are when students would come to meet with him in the office, when he would take a phone call from students. Those students were young, and also others were quite seasoned educators with memories that they shared, those memories that they learned that impacted their lives. And it wasn't just recounting the learning from a classroom. And it wasn't just recounting the experience of the advice that Rabbi Dr. Feuerman would give outside the classroom, but it was infused with their own experiences, with their own ideas, with their own thoughts, so that there was a synthesis of the ideas that Dr. Feuerman had shared within the classroom and beyond, and those of the student. And that Dr. Feuerman would always share, was his greatest nachas. That synthesis of what we share with Talmidim and what they share with us. As Dr. Schiffman noted, respect goes in both directions. This is actually codified by the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Hey Halacha Yud Beis. K'shem sha'Talmidim chayovin bechvoda Rav, kach tzorech harav lechavris Talmidov ulekorvon, says the Rambam. We sometimes think about respect as creating some distance between teachers and students. And Dr. Feuerman and his late Rebbetzin were regal. They were remarkably put together and professional and always, always with the highest levels of professionalism. Yet there was a sense of closeness, and that developed a mutual respect that I continue to be amazed by in terms of its reverberations throughout the world of chinuch today. Today, I'm going to try to share some Torah that does relate to Rabbi Dr. Feuerman, and also share with you the Torah that student, who is now a member of the shul that I daven in, remembered from 20 years ago, hopefully infused with the last 20 years and synthesized with the last 20 years of experience that we've developed as well. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Hopefully I can. Nope. Is it possible to allow me to do that? You should also have the source sheets that were shared in the chat. You're welcome to download as well. I guess while I'm waiting for that, we can go ahead and begin. The Torah mentions in Parshas Baalosecha, and there we go. It's always right when you start. Okay. A thumbs up from those on video that you can see the screen, yes? Fantastic, wonderful. That was, as Dr. Schiffman mentioned, a check for understanding, which I remarkably found out is Dr. Feuerman's initials, CF. Just a remarkable realization, perhaps, that is embedded in what Madeline Hunter was always intending. So Baalosecha begins, Daber lo Aaron, v'amarte lo Baalosecha es ha-neiros, el mul paneha menorah yir shivas ha-neiros. We know that the menorah itself is oftentimes viewed as a metaphor for chinuch, and we are going to delve into that a bit as we start to learn together. Rashi on that pasuk says a number of things. First, lama nismecha parshas ha-menorah l'parshas ha-nesiyim. Why is this piece right after the gifts of the Nesiyim in the Chanukas HaMishkan, the Fisha, Kishiro Aaron Chanukas HaNesiyim, Chol Shadato, he was upset, he was concerned, he missed out. He had fear of missing out. The first case, perhaps, of FOMO. Lohu v'lo Shvato, his Shevet, they didn't get a piece of that experience. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Chayecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Your life, your shelcha gedolah mishelahem. You're going to have an even greater role. What's going to be your greater role? Shatamadlik umeitiv esaneros. What is it that lighting a menorah has that's unique, different than giving a gift? I give a gift. I transfer something to you. I light a menorah. I not only transfer the flame, but I keep the flame itself. That ability" of being able to now transfer, to teach, to be able to transfer the next generation, but still maintain the Torah that I have. That metaphor for chinuch, perhaps, of that lighting is something that is quite remarkable, as we said, in the legacy of Dr. Feuerman. But Rashi continues, Al-Shem Shel Ahav Ola, that the flame rose. That's another reason why the Lashon is of Lashon of Aliyah, that it goes up. That's why it is that it's that language. Kasu Balogos and Lashon Aliyah, that's why it has that language. Shitzarich Lahadlik Achitehei Shalheves Ola Meileha. You have to wait for the flame to go up. You can't just put the flame there and step away. All of us know from lighting Hanukkah candles. All of us know from lighting any fire. You can't just step away. You have to wait until the flame rises. Vodosh Rabusenu. Rashi gives another pshat Why? Because there were steps in front of the menorah. And even though the menorah wasn't that high, the Kohanim still had to step up. And says Rashi, why does it have to step up? Says because they had to step up. That's why it had to have the Lashon Aliyah. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, an amazing, amazing thing. He says, these are also metaphors for chinuch. Just as you light the candle and you can't step back until the flame rises, so too you need to light your students. You have to transfer, you have to give to the students, you have to teach your students until they become independent. Certainly a characteristic of the experiences of many of the Talmidim, as we mentioned, of Rabbi Dr. Feuerman. But also, there's something else. What we mentioned in terms of that synthesis of the years of experience that the students infused into the lessons from Dr. Feuerman and the many decades of experience and expertise that Dr. Feuerman infused into his lessons, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, what does it mean that they had to step up over and hover over this lower menorah? Why is it they had to step up? Because chinuch requires perspective. That one has to have a full view. Can't just look at the only at the individual moment that we have in front of us, but we also have to step back and really understand perspective and infuse perspective into our learning. These qualities of having perspective, the quality of creating independence, the quality of understanding that it's not just giving over, but it's a relationship with the Talmidim, continues to appear throughout not only Dr. Feuerman's lifetime, but also throughout various various lessons that we will share today. In Isaiah, we have an interesting mashal of a farmer, a plowman, plowing the field. Says the Radak on the Pasuk in Isaiah, Vata Nefaresh in source 2b, Vata Nefaresh HaMashal, HaChoresh Hu HaKel Yisbarach, the plowman is Hashem, Vadama Hu Yisrael, and Yisrael, we are the ground is Yisrael. Kamosha HaChoresh Yitakin HaAdama, Kedei Shetiyeh Nechon HaKabel HaZera, You have to prepare your students. You have to set it up, as Dr. Sir Shiffman said. The lesson can't just start. You can't just throw things at people. You have to set it up. You have to sow the field. Continues the Radak. Right? You plant some seeds. Right? We had Har Sinai moment. There's a recognition of the Radak. Not everybody's going to have the same experience. Not every seed's going to grow the same way. Not every person, not every field is going to grow the same way. Not every experience of growth is going to be equal. And in 2D, says the Radak, Kumosha Azorea, Gaba Bizarro Shitotzi Loha Adama, Begaru Echad, Kama Gargirim, and just like the farmer expects that one seed is going to grow into many, King Kavi Hakel Mi Yisrael, Shiosifu Almasha Horem, Vyaskilu Vayavinu Dover Mitoch Dover. The expectation of the student, expectation of all students, the expectation is that we are going to not only have the experience of Sinai, not only receive the Torah, but we are going to contribute our own to it, as we've shared already. Is such a quality of the experiences of the Talmidim of Dr. Feuerman, the experience of those who were his colleagues, that we learned so much from him, and we also were able to infuse our own ideas with a serious listening ear on his part. And therefore, says the Radak, that's the human experience. The human experience is that we, with our rational faculties, our abilities, just as we read in this past week's parsha, that we have Ruach Memalva, we have Dei Avedibor, as Rashi says, we have this intellect, we have this language ability to be able to advance our learning. So too, that's how Torah works. That because of those faculties, we are now able to continue to grow Torah, continue to advance Torah, continue to develop Torah. And when it comes to our own experiences in Torah, we oftentimes think of the concept of a chiddush. Says Pasuk in Eicha, Nechidah comments on it, Chadashim labikarim rabah emunasecha, that they are renewed every morning, right? What is that is renewed? Says the Chidah, Shebechol eis yordim chidushim mishamayim, that there's always coming in relationship to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, there's always opportunities where the Torah is not static, but it is continuing to rain down chidushim mishamayim umikoach ze efshar lechadish chidushei Torah. And that empowers us as Yisrael, that empowers us to, as the Radak notes, to grow many seeds and to expand and grow our understanding as students of Torah. It's not just that we accept what it is that the Rebbe said. It's not that we accept what the teacher noted, but we add ourselves into that picture because it is that relationship that really makes the learning happen. And when we think about this, and Dr. Schiffman mentioned, you know, the individual and how we might attract and connect the individual to all learning and how we might make sure that we advance the learning of all Talmidim. Share with you an interesting lesson from Pirkei Avos. So in Pirkei Avos, we know the Mishnah says, Rabbi Dostari, Bar Yanai, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol HaShochev, Dover, Echad, Mishnah So. Anyone who forgets one thing in their learning, Mala, Lov, HaKosov, Kilu, Mishchayev, Benafshel, that they have somehow are now going to have a death penalty of some sort. They're, somehow they're chayev benafsho for forgetting one thing. I forgot more than one thing in the last 5 minutes. How is that possible? How is that possible? Says the Chidah in that Mishnah. He says, Efshar and 4b, Efshar lomar, pameshi yadua, ki kol echad kibel chelko batorah misinai. We each got a part, our part of Torah at Sinai. V'imhu yir shemayim kum hamotzi la'ora shir kibla nishmaso v'achidishu ein acher yachol l'chadsho ki hu chalko. Right? I get to have the opportunity from what I received from Har Sinai, what part of the Torah I received, I get to be machadish. That's why I'm here. If I forget my part, that's why I'm chayv benash. It's as if it's just not there. My contribution to the world is entirely missing. How is that possible? That's why it's chayv benafsho. Because my chelek is somehow missing in the world. My contribution to the world, my ability to be able to provide chidushim, to capture the chidushim that are raining from Shemayim, I lose that opportunity and is lost to everyone else also. One of the lessons of the Tiferes Shlomo on the same Mishnah is fascinating. It also connects to another aspect, which is important to note when it comes to the life of Rabbi Dr. Chaim Feuerman, a tremendous Yerushalayim. Says the Tiferes Shlomo, Acha emes hu da ha'ikar halimud lishma. What's the point of learning? It's not just an academic pursuit. This is a spiritual pursuit. This is a religious pursuit. This is building a relationship with the Rabbonu Shel Olam. This is a Avodas HaKodesh. Not only the teaching, but the learning as well. Upirish lishma. What does it mean, lishma? Hu l'shem Hashem li'achid kodesh baruch hu shkinaseha. It's expected that we're going to connect to the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And v'zeh ha'shochev dover echad. If you forget echad in your learning, if you forget the Rabbonu Shel Olam in your learning, then that's why you're chayev benafsho. All of our teaching, all of our learning, all of it, and all of the teaching and learning of Rabbi Dr. Chaim Feuerman was all the Shem Shaman. It was all to advance not only his relationship with the Rabbonu Shel Olam, but those who were able to learn with him and had the schus to learn with him. If we as teachers, as we as parents, remember these lessons, that we have a sense that it's not just about giving over, but it's also about receiving. It's about the connection between parent and child, the connection between teacher and Talmud, and that the Rabbonu Shel Olam is also a part of that shutfus, is part of that partnership, that will create the most essential learning that we can possibly have and the most long-lasting learning that we possibly can have. So how does this work? How does this work in terms of preparing students for capturing the chidushim raining from Shemayim? How does it work that we create this relationship with them? How does it work that we develop a sense of partnership with students? And one of the remarkable pieces that I recall right from day one of being a colleague of Dr. Feuerman's was how he connected not only the Torah of the Rabbonu Shel Olam and what it does to inform how it is that we might connect with our Talmidim, connect with our children, advance them in their learning. But he was always the first to read the next piece of research, always the first to bring in what it is that the latest book was saying about the classroom, about learning. It was unbelievable, the synthesis, a true Torah Umada experience for all of us who had the opportunity to learn with him and from him, not only in the classroom, but many times in faculty meetings. Dr. Forniman would be the first to share, this is what this researcher said, or this is what this educator said, this psychologist, this book, or this study. So I'd like to walk through with you what I have over the years, and this is the Torah that student remembered from years ago, in thinking about developmentally how it is that children gain an appreciation for Torah, how it is that they learn, and also what it is that the research says about that. And hopefully we'll synthesize that in the next 20 minutes and be able to conclude with these pieces. The Mishnah in Avos, a very famous Mishnah, I guess all Mishnayos are famous, but this one seems to get a lot of airtime. Hu haya omer ben chamesh shonim lemikra, 5 years old for Mikra. I'm specifically not translating it as Chumash for a reason. Ben Eser, the Mishnah, it's 10 years for Mishnah. Ben Shlosh Esrei le Mitzvos, Ben Chamesh Esrei le Talmud, Ben Shmon Esrei le Chuppah, Ben Esrim Lirdof, Ben Shlosh le Koach, Arbaim le Bina, etc. Continues on as you see, and I specifically don't translate each of those pieces, as we'll see in a few moments why. There is, at this point, very famous educational approach that uses this Mishnah as a basis for its study. That at 5 years old, you study Chumash. At 10 years old, you begin Mishnah. At 15, you start learning Talmud, Yerushalayim, Lakewood now, and other places throughout the world. I'm going to suggest that this is a misreading of the Mishnah. And based on a misreading of the Mishnah, based on a Maharal, based on other pieces that we will study together. Perhaps when we think about Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Mitzvos, Chuppah, perhaps we're not talking about texts as that approach might suggest, but instead talking about a development of the child's learning abilities, looking at a developmental approach that research in some ways will support as well. Says the Maharal in the 16th century, Mikra hu? What is Mikra? Mikra is not Chumash. Mikra hu? Hasaga ma. It's a level of understanding of just what. Just ma. What? Vein hasaga b'shlemesh u'biro. It's not full clarity, but it is just ma. Just what? Aval ha-mishna hi ha-yadiyah b'biro. Mishnah all of a sudden starts to gain a greater clarity of understanding of things. And in fact, what Mishnah tends to do is actually set up comparisons or multiple perspectives on something. I can say A, I can say B. It doesn't necessarily tell me that A or B is better or worse. It just says, here's A, here's B. There's greater clarity of a particular issue. Says the Maharal, Talmudu. What's Talmud? L'havin tama davar she'enu mishnah b'klal. This is the explanation, the reasoning behind the understanding, the why of the Mishnah. Says the Maharal, continues with Kfar Marnu ki mikra mishnah Talmud hem keneged chachma das bina. Ki amikra yesh bo chachma, aval the mishnah hi ayediya gemura l'havin kol davar kifi mashahu behevdel. Right? Again, some comparisons so that we can get to greater clarity. But Talmud, that's already something else. Talmud says Derechayim, says the Maharal, these are not texts. These are cognitive abilities. This is explaining what's going on in the child's brain, in the student's brain, in their development, that we have a sense of understanding ma at age 5. We have an ability to appreciate at age 10 what it means to have some comparative abilities. And at 15, we have the ability to be able to make inferences. While it is that years ago, whether it be Piaget or other psychologists would have suggested a similar stage theory of development. The reality is that psychology today would not necessarily subscribe to a 5, 10, 15-year developmental path towards inferencing. And in fact, inferencing is something that can start significantly earlier, as we will see. Says the Maharal in 5C, right? V'dar v'zeh mipnei ki ha'adam noah v'lo seichel l'gamri, right? That man is born with, a child is born with limited intellectual abilities, right? V'kasher ha'adam ben chamesh maskil ha'seichel ba'adam. That's when the seichel starts, says the Maharal. That's when we think that the seichel starts. Of course, we know already from developmental psychology of the 21st century, right? We already know in the last 100 years, we've come to understand that actually seichel starts significantly earlier than five, but safe to say that the science of the time certainly understood that man developed seichel at that time. Zeh mipnei she'avru chetzi asara shebohah adam mishtana, right? That 5 years, he reaches that 5 year, it commences, since this is a half of a decade that you're able to change. Says the Maharal, b'kan lo amrinu shetzarech asara, you don't need 10 years. Why is it you need 10 years? Mipnei ki kol hashar shinuyim, right? Because all the other ones require 10. You had 20 koach, 30, you had, lirdof, I'm sorry, 20, koach at 30, bina at 40. So you had all those as possibilities, but we have 5 year periods in the beginning. So you only need the five because that's how the seichel seems to develop, right? Because all of the other ones, they develop entirely on their own. But you need 10 for all of those other ones. But what about these first developmental cognitive states of Al Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, She'ena, Dover, Magia, Me'atzma? Those things don't come out entirely on their own. She'tzarech lo, Rav. You need a teacher. You need that partnership. Asher Yilamedo. So you need someone to teach you. You need someone to engage you in lessons. Ein tzarech lahamtin ad asara rak ad chamesh. You only need to go to 5 years old. Then you engage the Rebbe. You engage the teacher. That's why Kidal Palga Al Hamalamed, half falls on the teacher, right? Upalga al atmo. And on your own, there's a partnership, half of it falls on you. And that's why we have the situation where we go 5, 10, 15 for these developmental cognitive states, not just the aspect of as if they're texts themselves, right? And says the Maharal in 5D, just because of time, we'll go through it more quickly outside. He says that these are not entirely separated, that they influence one another, right? That the idea of ma influences the why, right? The what influences the why, and the why influences the what. And the comparatives influence the why as well. So you have Mishnah influencing Talmud, Talmud influencing Mikra, you have Mikra influencing Mishnah, et cetera, all leading the child to develop their intellect and their ability to learn. Says the Gemara in Kiddushin before the Maharal, right? La'olam mishalish adam shnosav. You're supposed to split your time of learning into thirds. What language does the Gemara use? Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. Perhaps we can say it's not talking about, Maharal wouldn't understand it, talking about chumash and mishnah and talmud, but would it suggest that that has to do with your understanding of the text that you're learning. Perhaps that's what we mean when we say split our time. We should be spending our time learning to a certain extent the opportunities for what? Just understanding, basic understanding. We should be spending some time comparing. We should be spending some time inferencing. And the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah concretizes this and actually says that we should be splitting our time, but once you master some of the ma, once you master the Mishnah, what should you be spending your time doing? Then you should be spending your time already later with regard to that inferencing, the state of cognitive development that we called Talmud. Achayv Shal says, Zman l'midasa, says the Rambam in 6b, Shlish b'tor shebeksav. What is Torah shebeksav? He's talking about Mikra, Ushlish b'tor shebal peh, Mishnah, Ushlish Yavin Vyaskil, Acharis Davar Marishiso, Vyotzi Davar Medavar, Vyadamar Davar the Davar, Vyavin Midos, Chatoran Nidreshus Bahem, Achi Yeda, Hechu Iker, Hamidos, Vyotzi Aser, v'hamuter v'chayotu v'hen mitvah. Right? Shlamed m'pi hashmur. Right? That we have these different levels. We have Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, and he's throwing in even more, which we'll see in a moment how we might understand those components related back to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Rambam's Talmud Muvak, Yosef Ibn Akdin, for which he wrote the Mora, he has a very interesting comment, translated into English because it wasn't written in Hebrew anyway, 6C, they said 18 is the age of Chuppah, right? Shmona Esrei L'Chuppah in Pirkei Avos, we said. What does that mean? It means reading with comprehension and discovery, which means drawing inferences from sources. They made this recommendation because prior to the age of 18, memorization is the best for them, and they're strong in it and have more leisure for it than for intellectual pursuits. Moreover, their intellects are not yet mature. Indeed, they possess a great deficiency during this time. Learning with comprehension was euphemistically called chuppah, meaning it's not chuppah mamish. We're not saying 18 get married. We're saying 18, what does 18 mean? Cognitively, it means making inferences in a way in which you're synthesizing chuppah metaphorically. Take all of the inferencing, take all of the ideas that we've had and pull them together and learn and synthesize them in terms of the concept of metaphorically chuppah. When they reach this age, says Yosef Ibn Aknin, their intellects are up to the task of comprehension as well as to discover questions not explicit in the Talmud by means of the received principles, those hermeneutics, the midosh and nedreshes bahen. They'll become proficient in it, and the teacher will accustom them to it so that throughout their lives, they'll neither desist nor abstain from it, meaning the teacher still is relevant. We're still going to create a situation in which the individual doesn't only learn on their own. It's that we're going to guide them, but now we're going to guide them more in hermeneutic principles and being able to get them to a place where they can now be independent, that they can now create that Torah, the Chidushim, on their own, that they can continue to move forward. Again, developmentally, we would have said perhaps this matches beautifully onto Piaget and others' early years, 5, 10, 15, and then adulthood. We know today that many of those stage theories, the ages were off a bit, that we know that kids could already be making inferences at already age 1, 2 years old, or even different studies looking in different ages. But the don't worry about the ages so much, but conceptually, the taxonomy, if you will, of the Mishnah matches very interestingly onto a taxonomy that was developed in 1956 by Benjamin Bloom. Benjamin Bloom, University of Chicago, my alma mater, he developed 1956 based on cognitive science of 1956, which believed that the student was more passive and that the learner was more passive and that the teacher just gave over information, right? Well, we've shared already from thousands of years of texts, we already know that we didn't believe that. We didn't, but the science of 1956 certainly understood it that way. And that taxonomy, the underlying portions of Source 6D, started with knowledge in 1956, was revised in 2001 to knowing as the first stage, as the first level of understanding. Originally, Bloom was a guide for teachers that you should include in your lessons knowledge and then comprehension and application and analysis and synthesis and evaluation. All of those shifted in 2001 based on more modern cognitive science. Dr. Foyer would be the first to tell you that things shifted to an active learner in the classroom. And it was not knowledge, but now knowing, and not just comprehension, but comprehending, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let's look back at the sources we've looked at. Pirkei Avos, Mikra. Mikra, wow, that's Hasaga Ma, according to Derech Chaim. That's the Maral, that's Mikra. And the Rambam, Torah Shebiksav, that's knowledge or knowing. Mishnah, Torah Shebal Peh, comprehension, comprehending. Bar Mitzvah, now all of a sudden we understand why Bar Mitzvah is in the middle of that Pirkei Avos in the Mishnah. Because it's not just a matter of knowing and learning a text. It's a developmental guide. And at 13 years old, what happens? You're a bar mitzvah. You're now expected to apply what you learned. And go, look at that. Benjamin Bloom, to 1956, third level of Bloom's taxonomy, application or applying. Talmud in number 4, by Yoti Dover Medavar, inferencing. Corresponding now to analysis and or analyzing. And chuppah, as we learned from Yosef Ibn Aknim, it's comparison, right? And synthesis, synthesizing all that we've learned under a canopy of learning, if you will, our understanding. And then we have Lirdof at 20. And perhaps Lirdof, which is already the age halachically where you are being judged you are now held accountable. We now have the ability to evaluate the learning, to evaluate and evaluating the judging of the value, not only of the learning and the outcomes itself, but also the hermeneutic principles that we learn, the midos shenedreshes bohen. And when we think about all of this Mishnah as a taxonomy of learning, when we understand it not as texts, but as taxonomy of learning, there is a significant takeaway. Significant takeaway is more than even some of the specific principles of it. The specific takeaway that we can have with us is that it's not about learning only ma in our mikra, in our chumash. It's not only about learning inferences of Talmud in the texts of Gemara. We need to think about how we teach our children, how we teach our students in the classrooms, that there's mikra in Talmud and there's Talmud in mikra. I regularly say that Rashi on Chumash is a significantly better lead-in to Gemara than Mishnah is, because in many ways, Rashi on Chumash is the principles of Talmudic discourse, the inferencing and the comparisons and the hermeneutic principles that we apply to texts. Meaning again, that when it comes to mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, we could think about them as developmental paths, as cognitive abilities. But when we apply them to text, we need to apply them across the board. I was once asked, again, many decades ago, by a school, I believe it was Satmar and Lakewood at the time, and I don't know what they do today, but Satmar and Lakewood, someone called up and asked me, what do I think about the fact that they start learning Gemara in second grade? So I asked them, how do you learn Gemara in second grade? They said, well, in first grade, we learn Chumash, and we read the Pasuk, and we teach it into Yiddish, we translate it into Yiddish, and the kids sing song, and they basically repeat back what the Rebbe said. I said, okay, so how do you learn Gemara in second grade? They said, well, we read the text of the Gemara, and we repeat what the Rebbe teaches it into Yiddish, as we translate into Yiddish. I said, okay, I have no problem with you using the text of Talmud to teach Mikra. Right? Meaning, at that level, second grade, they're using the text of Gemara, but they're just teaching ma. They're just teaching the what. Too often in our classrooms, that's where we stop. We have Chumash, we have Mishnah, we have Halacha, we have Gemara, and we stop at the ma. No matter what age, we stop at the ma. What we really need to do is we need to step back and we need to realize that we need Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud in every text that we learn. And we need to engage and respect their students enough and their minds, not just to give over to them content, the ma, but also be able to have them engage in the text actively in order to be able to develop the Mishnah and Talmud of each and every text. And this brings us to another taxonomy, a fascinating taxonomy that I believe is embedded in Rosh Shlomo Volbe's work, Ali Shor. It's tucked away in the second chelek, which many don't learn. In the second chelek, in a chapter on Das, in Vad Revi'i of that chapter. It's literally tucked away. You'd never find it unless you were learning, you know, having to learn through it or having to look something up. So I present it to you here. Cesar Volbe, and those who are on who are students of mine know we cite this pretty regularly. This is not Goldberg saying this. This is Rav Volbe saying this. The great Mashkiach of Yerushalayim, the amazing, amazing Talmud Chacham, saying this in more of the Yeshivish Haredi world, not a Torah Mada Jew. Minaga Olam in line two, what is the path, what is the general approach to things? Mi sheyesh lo eza safek, holech miyad lishol chavero misha hu gadol mimenu. The way the world is, we go, if we have a question, we go ask, we Google it. We ask somebody else who's better than us what the answer is, without thinking for ourselves, without thinking for ourselves as a revolvi, without considering how we might use our God-given intellect to compare, to contrast, to have chidushin, to be able to learn on our own and understand something. Says revolvi, even more of an indictment. And those who have a question, Akasha in learning. We immediately look in the Mefarshim. We even have concretized this into our lessons in schools. Our children know that if they have a question in the Pasuk in Chumash, look in Rashi. You have a Gemara, look in Rashi. Says Rav Volbe, Mishenohe Kach, and he's talking to adult Talmidim. Misha Noe Kaf, Leolam Lohiya Bardas. You're never going to be a Bardas. When do you normally become a Bardas? Bar mitzvah. You're already a Bardas. He says to these adults, if you don't think for yourself, you'll never be a Bardas. You're always going to be reliant on other people. And Revolvi was known. He always gave the prescription, not only the diagnosis. Says in 7b, the prescription. How should you act when you have a lack of clarity? You should think for yourself. You should think and weigh the different possibilities. You should clarify the possibilities, weigh the possibilities, and then the punchline says Revolvi, Viachria, and make a decision. Don't run and ask someone else what the answer is first. Think for yourself and decide. Rak kasher hu atzmo higil maskana, and only after you've come to the conclusion, then go and check your thinking. Go check to see if you did the right thing here. And if we're learning also, then look it up in Svarim or talk to other people. Unless you think, when he said, he was talking about, did I get the right answer? Says Revolvi later in the same piece, we have to do the same thing in all of our uncertainties and when we have questions and we're asking for advice. Think for yourself. You have clarity. What are you checking when you go to others? If your approach, if your learning, your derech alimud, if your approach to the topic, if your approach to the sugya, your approach to the question was appropriate. In 1986, Revolvi published Alei Shor. In 1987, Robert Ennis published a fascinating taxonomy of critical thinking, which I'll leave you with, which is remarkably parallel to Revolvi, but misses one thing, misses the last piece. After being Machria, says Revolvi, there's one more stage for a Ben Torah or a Bas Torah. Rak kasher hu atzmo higia lamaskana, you have to go ask, because we do have a Mesorah. And as we said throughout the time in the Shir, Rabbi Dr. Chaim Foreman was a Yir Shamayim. The Torah is Emes. And it's not just enough to be able to have Chidushim reigning from Shamayim. And it's not just enough to teach our Talmidim Ma, and or comparisons, or the why, or any of the levels of discourse that Bloom and others have suggested, and Pirkei Avos have suggested, and the Rambam suggested, the Gemara suggests we have when we engage our Talmidim. But we also have to remember, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the Midos Shenidreshes Bohem. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a way of learning the Torah. We are expected to fall within that path. And for us, as the continued Talmidim of Rabbi Dr. Chaim Foreman, we go back and regularly miss the ability to check to see whether or not Hachrasona Choner Derech Yesharehi. And that is a loss, but hopefully we can continue to carry on his legacy. Thank you very much.